God is good. And all the time, amen. Amen. We've been learning from the book of Acts. We've been going through all the way from chapter 1 and up to chapter 13 now. It's very interesting. When you read the book of Acts, I don't know about other people, but I get very excited. It makes me so excited. I want to see the same thing happen in this time. And I think that this is a desire of every believer. Because we all want to experience Holy Spirit. Isn't it? Because Holy Spirit is same today, yesterday, and forever. It's the same Holy Spirit who rose Jesus from the grave. And same Holy Spirit lives in you and me. It tells you something, that God is so in love with His people. Let's read Book of Acts, if you got your Bible with you, and on your phone or in your paper Bible, whatever you have, and read verse 13. Paul and his companions then left Paphos by the ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Perga, their John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. But Paul and Barnabas traveled into the land to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the service. After the usual reading from the books of Moses and the prophet, those in charge of the service sent from them this message: Brothers, if you have any word for encouragement for the people, come and give it. So Paul stood, lifted his hand to quiet them, and started speaking. Men of Israel, he said, and you, God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. The God of this nation of Israel chose our ancestors and made them multiply and grow stronger during their stay in Egypt. Then with powerful arm, he led them out of their slavery. He put up with them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to Israel as an inheritance. All this took about 440 years. The first thing we need to understand when Paul is talking about this all, when the in charge of the synagogue, they asked them to come and if you have any word of encouragement, to give it to people. Paul took them all the way back to Egypt and he shares with them very systematically what happened in Egypt, and God led his people all out of Egypt and he made them stronger. And he destroyed seven nations, and they gave their land as inheritance to his people. The way the things are happening in this world right now, so many people, they are confused. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And everyone is trying to find hope in something. But as a Christian, as a believer, as a body of Christ, we know that God is in control. Amen. Regardless of what's going to happen, God is in control. And Paul, trying to remind Jews and Gentiles that God is in control. It was God himself who led his people from Egypt. It was God himself who chose Abraham. Because sometimes it's very easy for all of us to get discouraged. We feel sometimes God is not watching over me. And some people might say that God doesn't care. During the week, we had a privilege in Queensland still. We can go for coffee. We can enjoy a restaurant. We can see friends. So we've been going out for coffee. We're meeting other people. And it's very interesting how many people, they still think they know better than God. It's interesting that how many people, they think that they got a better plan than God. There's so much division. You go on Facebook, on internet, the Christians, they are attacking each other. You got this, you got this, you are not doing the right thing, you are not doing the right thing. And instead of coming, being united, they are divided. And you think about all these things and wonder why we are in this mess. You know, when any time when something went wrong, you see, God is coming to his people and talking to them. If my people, called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and what will happen? I will forgive them. I will bless their land. I will restore everything. It was always about God's people, isn't it? In Israel, in Egypt, God came for his people, isn't it? God came for his people. King David, he said, though I will go through valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. So we are going through a really hard time. We are going through a very tough time. There is no doubt about that. But remember this, God is in control. God has a plan. I don't need a plan. We've been learning. The men of God and women of God, they've been sharing that God is in control. God has a plan. We don't need a plan. We just need to receive his plan. We don't want to make our own plan. God got a plan for you. Psalm 139. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Hey, amen. Amen. You know everything about me. You know everything about me, Lord. You know what I speak. You know what I think. You know where I sleep. You know when I get up. When I lie down, when I go out, when I come in. You know everything about me. So take heart. God is in control. God is watching over you. He's a good, good father. He's watching over you. He has a plan for you. Paul is telling his audience, God has a plan. God knew what he is doing. It was God who brought Israel out of Egypt. It was God who destroyed the seven nations and gave this land to his people. It was God all alone. You know what's wrong with this world? They want king. The king who will lead them in a battle. That was a problem with Israel too. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We want king. Am I not king to you? I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who done everything for you. No, we want king like other nations. You know, sometimes God gives people what they want. God knows the future. God knows beginning and the end of your life. But when you keep nagging like a child to God, God will say, okay, I'll give you. I will give you what you want. But there are consequences with that too. Israel wanted a king. Yeah, God, you are great. You've done all the miracles and signs and wonders and everything we have seen with our own eyes. But we want king like other nations. And what happened? Suffering. And then God said to Samuel, go and anoint David. You see what's happening there? God is changing everything. God is the one who brought Saul because they wanted king. So God said, all right, here he's the man. Take him. He's your king. But there are consequences coming too. Then God decided, David, man after my heart. So we see God is the one who is doing this. So Paul takes them through this journey and he tells them, you know, how God done everything. How he is worried about everybody. And it's not you. God is not just worried about you people. It's about everyone. The God was worried about Nineveh. They are not Jew. They were not Jew people. They were enemies of Jews. But God cared about them too. And Peter, he tells in his message, he said that I have seen when he went to Cornelius' house. I have seen God's favor on those people who fear the Lord and do the right. I have seen God's mercy. I have seen God bless them with the same spirit. So God is worried about everyone. That's why King Jesus came. Amen? Amen. We were going to die in our sin. But it was God who prepared the plan. It wasn't any man. It wasn't a prophet who came with this plan. It was God himself. So take heart. God is in control. Amen? Let's read. After that, God gave them judges to rule until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people begged for the king. There you go. And God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of tribe of Benjamin. And we talked about this already. I'll read now from verse 29. when they had done all the prophecies, all that the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestor, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This was the second Psalm says, "You are my son, today I have became your father." Our God has promised to raise him from the dead and not leave him in to rot in the grave. He said, I will give you this sacred blessing. I promise to David. Another psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. This is not a reference to David. For after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestor, and his body decayed. No, it was a reference to someone else. Someone whom God raised and whom body did not decay. Paul lead them to Jesus. You know, this world does not need anything else but Jesus. Paul could preach something else. And she's agree with me too. Amen. Amen. Even though the phones are agreed that Jesus is the God, Jesus is a king. Amen? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So Paul took them and he explained everything. Now he came to Jesus. And he explained that Jesus is the king. Jesus is the God. Jesus is the Savior that you need. Because Paul understood the pain of suffering. Paul understood the pain of sin. Paul understood the pain of law. He was a lawkeeper. He is a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knows about everything. And he is the one, Bible tells us in Book of Acts, he was going door to door persecuting people so they can obey the law. But since he met Jesus, his life is changed. Amen. That's a big deal. That's it. When people, they will meet Jesus, life will be changed. We all here because of Jesus today. Because of Jesus, not because of preachers. No. Because of Jesus. What he has done for you. People, they have planned. People, they are planning. They are making all the plans. Best machinery. Best technology. Best this and best that. And nothing can get people out of their misery. Nothing can take people out of their sin. Nothing can save people from the eternal, you know, punishment. Nothing. But Jesus. And Paul gave reference from the Old Testament. And he talks about everything, all different things, all different reference. Because whole Bible is full of, it's all about Jesus. From the book of Genesis, God promised he will come and he will destroy the devil. And he goes step by step and he tells them, hey, this is Jesus who saved people from their sin. Lots of people, they're going to church in these days and they're playing church. If people come to church just for Sunday and say that, hey, if I'll go every Sunday to church, that will save me. No, I'm sorry. It's relationship with God. It's relationship with Lord King Jesus. It's relationship with the living God. It's relationship with the Holy Spirit that will change you inside out. You know, Paul has only one message. He's preaching Jesus, the one who crucified, who died, who rose again, and who is coming back. Peter preached the same message. The day of Pentecost, it's the same message. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. That's the message. And how many saved? 3,000 people came to Christ, came into the kingdom. 3,000 people, because there is a power in Jesus' name. There is a power when you preach the gospel, it can speak to people. It can speak to their whatever is going on inside. It doesn't matter how amazing words I will say. And if I don't preach about Jesus, that's not going to make any difference for you. It will be a great message. It will be a word of encouragement. But what can change people? It is Jesus. Nothing else. Make feel good. That will be message of Joel Osteen for you. Look, Paul is preaching the crucified Christ. He's saying, you are sinners. You need to repent. You need to come to God because he cares about them. When you care about people, you preach gospel. And Paul knew that. That only Christ can save people. Peter knew that. Stephen knew that. Same message. I see Jesus, the right hand of the Father, and he is coming with his angels. Philip preached the same message. The Ethiopian guy, he did not understand what he is reading. And what he said to Philip, he said, do you understand what you, Philip is saying, do you understand what you're reading? How can I understand if somebody will not explain to me? And here he explained, it was all about Jesus. It was Jesus, the Savior, who promised, God promised that he will come and he will save his people. And what the Ethiopian treasurer, what he said, water is here, you are here, so who is stopping me to get baptized? See, Jesus is changing people. Jesus is changing nations. And when you read further, it clearly says, when they heard this message, and they said, we are interested. What are you going to say next week? Amen. Wow. Wow. And it says, the almost whole city came to listen what Paul is going to say. They heard about Jesus. They heard about the Savior. Almost whole city. You know, Bible says God wrote eternity on mankind's heart. When you're preaching Jesus, when you're sharing gospel with people, they will change. Paul, he says later in this chapter, almost whole city came to listen, Paul. It's not about us. If I don't preach Jesus, if I don't share the true gospel, I don't care about you. That's true, isn't it? But if I care about you, I will preach the Jesus. I will preach the whole gospel. Because we want everybody to come into the kingdom of God. We care about you. As much you need Jesus, I need too. I need Jesus as much you need. And the third point is Holy Spirit who is leading the church now. It's not leadership in the church. Yes, of course, they have a role to play. But it's the Holy Spirit who is leading church through his people. You know, Holy Spirit, Book of Acts, when you read, we can talk about whole Bible, but Book of Acts, when you read, it's the Holy Spirit coming and giving, making people able to preach gospel, making people able to think about all different things. It's the Holy Spirit who's giving the gifts and everything else to people, equipping them to preach Jesus, to share Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 13, when you go back, you read through that, verse 2, verse 3, it tells it was Holy Spirit. It wasn't man's idea. Okay, Paul is saved. No, let's ordain him. No. Bible says it was church. They were praying. They were fasting. They were worshiping the Lord. And what happened? When they were worshiping, when they were fasting, when they were praying, Holy Spirit came and he said that, ordain Paul and Barnabas for me. Look at that. When you spend time in prayer, just want to make sure prayer means communication, talking to Lord. Prayer doesn't mean that you sit there and just don't say anything. You talk to the Lord. You talk to him. That's what they were doing. That was happening there. They were talking to God. Father, what's your plan? Not that, Lord, I wrote 3 pages long plan, and here it is. Now, Lord, here I am. Here we are, your people. Give us your plan. And here, Holy Spirit spoke to them. Ordained Paul. Barnabas and Paul for me. Because I separated them from myself for special work. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. Remember that God has a plan. God has a plan. God is in control of your life, of your children's life, everything what you have. God has a plan. And his plan never fail. Will never fail. And we need to preach Jesus. We need to share Jesus. And every one of you who belong to Jesus can share about Jesus. Wherever you go. Bible says when the church, they were persecuted. They did not say, Lord, stop the persecution. He said, Lord, give us strength. Give us encouragement. Lord, give us strength. Make us bold. So may we go out and preach the gospel, preach the good news of Jesus. Nothing else. Paul, he said, I will preach the crucified Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. Because nothing else works. Only Christ. So God has a plan. Jesus is your King. Jesus can change people's life. And the Holy Spirit is with you. In you. And He is eager to talk to you as He was talking to apostles. Because God is a relational God. He's not a God of old prophets and apostles, not just only for them, but He is for you. Because Peter, he says very clearly, Joel said that. Not Joel Osteen, Joel the prophet. Joel the prophet, he said that it is for you and for your children, for those who will come to the Lord after them. So Holy Spirit is for you, for your children. Pray for your children. We learned last week, pray for your children. Pray for them, raise them. Pray for your family, pray for your friends. May they know Jesus. May they know Jesus. Because when Jesus comes in your life, He comes with everything else too. Seek the kingdom and its righteousness, and everything will be added to you. So who is the kingdom? Jesus is everything. So all you need is Jesus. So when He is in your life, everything else will follow Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you and honor you this morning. Father, we love you and honor you. Father, we are so thrilled. We are so blessed that you are our God, our King, and Lord, you are in control. Lord, your Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit, we just want to honor you this morning. And we just ask you to keep leading us in the right direction. Lead us home. So may we glorify Jesus together. Everybody say, Amen.